Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our program. Tom, it was very, very cool last night. Borderline almost cold. Still, we hold out. We are not cranking up the heaters yet because the forecast now looks like the temperature is going to go up into the lower 50s for the low. So why hook up the heater now?
No, if you have a comforter, like I used my comforter last night, and man, it was nice and snug in there. I didn't want to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah, and I love this Pendleton blanket that I bought up in the Pacific Northwest. And so
100% wool.
There you go. I mean, so I was very comfortable. Hello, everybody. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, November the 6th, 2015. We are live weekdays here on KVOI over the noon hour. Tucson's noon hour town square. How's that, Tom? Sound pretty good? All right. The show is available, of course, through the live streaming and podcasts. You can listen to us at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, KVOI.com, the station's fine website. Our media partner is TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, all are supporters of the program in that they put the Buckmaster Show a link to our program prominently displayed on their home pages. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with the president and CEO of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Mike Varney. Mike, how are you?
I am very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming by. Joining me in studio to question Mr. Varney, Dylan Smith. Speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan and his team over there do a fine job. Dylan is the editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, which is now publishing in its sixth year.
I think six. I'm almost losing count.
What's your anniversary?
I think so. I think it's coming up on lucky number seven. Almost,
oh, really?
Perhaps
because we've got our 5-year anniversary here for this project coming up the first week of January. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you 790-2040. Our Facebook page still accepting and welcoming new members at Bill Buckmaster, and we're now doing the Twitter thing slowly but surely. A follow. A follower here, a follower there, but kind of reactivated the account, and that's Buckmaster Show. Not as active as I should be on Twitter. You're kind of into Twitter, aren't you, Dylan?
A little bit. Mostly, you know, we try and it's kind of funny. Tucson's not so much of a Twitter town. There
no.
are places where there are a whole
town.
Lot
it's
of
Facebook.
People involved in
yeah.
it. Tucson seems to be much more Facebook
it
oriented.
Is. It's very.
But
much
we like to make sure that people from outside of Tucson can get a glimpse of what's happening here
yep.
as well. So we try and get out that word out and engage a little bit on Twitter.
All right, Mr. Varney. I think somebody could have made a lot of money if they were a betting person. And I heard lots of folks saying, hey, it's a sure bet. Two of the seven bond questions, really sure bets. Who's going to vote against a flood control project? And who's going to vote against, with all the griping and moaning about our terrible roads, who's going to vote not to put more money into roads?
Well, I guess we found out on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it borders on shocking.
Shocking, disappointing, bewildering, a lot of different descriptives, Bill. We supported, as you probably know, all seven of the bond questions. The one that was at the top of the list for us, of course, was responding to the investors who support the Tucson Metro Chamber, who have made it very, very clear that they want better roads, and they want better roads now. And frankly, in a subsequent poll that we did, they don't care how the roads get paid for, whether it's a bond mechanism, if it's a tax, if it's general fund money, they don't care. They just want better roads, and they want them now.
Dylan?
There were a whole lot of other things in those bond issues that touched on economic development in so many different ways. Workforce training and
Raytheon,
some other basic infrastructure needs,
yep.
as well as what some might point to somewhat derisively as pet projects that still seem to have a lot of community backing. You know, the Air Museum has been waiting a decade to expand their facility, and this was going to do that. The January 8th Memorial was going to be in a large way funded by this. What's going to happen with all of that? I mean, with so many projects pegged to this, how many of these things are going to fall by the wayside because they can't be done any other way?
Yeah, it's hard to tell what the impact will be on each individual product or project, Dylan. But you make great points. There were a lot of big issues like our roads that touch everybody. There were some smaller projects that were very, very important that perhaps didn't touch everybody, but nevertheless were important. It's going to be very interesting to see if some of these projects just go away. There were some neighborhood improvements that we would have liked to have seen get done. The Raytheon buffer that we need to create to enhance Raytheon's ability to enjoy the safety features that they need, and also the expansion of their facility so that they can do more work here in Tucson instead of thinking about doing that work someplace else. We're bewildered, we're disappointed, and frankly, I don't know what Chapter 2 will be. There will be a Chapter 2. I'd be very interested to hear what the opponents, the people who helped kill these measures, what are their ideas for resurrecting all of these very worthwhile projects?
Yeah, and if any of those opponents would like to call us with any of their ideas, we're open for you, 790-2040. In fact, we have a call right now, and I don't know if, Matthew, how you felt about the bonds, but he would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, you know, I want to explain why, you know, I think the bonds went down.
Okay.
And I've tried to explain this for almost 3 years now.
Okay.
I've made it brutally clear that property taxes are too high. And we all know that. And at some point, the property owners, as well as the renters, I believe renters even would have voted no because they were terrified that the property owners would turn to them and say, I need more money for rent. We have a situation in Pima County, and it's not anybody's fault, where, unlike Maricopa County, we are relying solely on the property tax owners. And I think I was just as shocked as everybody that the bonds, at least the two or three of them, didn't pass. But when it happened, I said, "Wow, I know exactly why this happened." And so I know Chuck Huckleberry and the Board of Supervisors, or at least Chuck Huckleberry, I won't say the Board of Supervisors. I know Chuck Huckleberry understands until the county finds a way, like Maricopa County, of redistributing the costs of running the county jail and the county health system. I would say we need to lower property taxes by a minimum of 50%. And then will you ever see a chance where a bond package like this will ever be able to go through again.
Okay, Matthew.
And that's the point I'm trying to make to Mike.
Okay.
And I've been, you know, it's common sense, but I know it's also hard to understand.
Okay.
So I'll leave it there. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, that was Matthew. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, when you compare tax rates and tax burdens and so forth between, as is often done, between Pima County and Maricopa County, you need to be sure that you're comparing apples to apples. Matthew kind of touched on some of the differences, that so much is loaded into property tax values in Pima County that those same expenses, for example, wastewater, which the county runs here, in Maricopa County, you pay for wastewater treatment through a different channel. You pay for your hospitals through a different channel, your jails through a different channel. The fact is, if you want to compare apples to apples, the total tax burden of a resident of Pima County is on par with a typical resident in Maricopa County. So whether you've got a dollar bill in one pocket that you pay your property taxes with that covers all of those expenses, or you've got 50 cents in one pocket and 50 cents in another pocket, and you have to hand those four quarters over to the tax man, the total tax burden is the same. So he's right. There are different channels, but the odds of Pima County totally reconfiguring how it assesses taxes and what those taxes pay for is unlikely, in my opinion, to ever happen. Just keep in mind total tax burden, and you will find that when you compare Pima and Maricopa counties, you're looking at a six of one, half a dozen of another situation.
When you're looking at just property taxes, the average property owner in Maricopa County pays a lot more in property tax than a Pima County taxpayer. Because even though you can't just look at the county rates, yes, Maricopa County's property tax rates are lower than Pima County's, surely. But just about everybody who owns property in Maricopa County lives inside a town or city right. that has its own much higher property tax. So you have to add those together. You
That's
can't
another
just compare,
yep.
You can't compare county to
You're
county.
Exactly
you have
right,
to look
Dylan.
At what the actual check that you end up writing overall
that's
turns out to
total
be.
Total tax burden, and that's what gets lost in the shuffle.
790-2040. It's exactly 12:15. 790-2040. If you'd like to speak with Mr. Varney and give us your opinion on what happened on Tuesday, we'll be right back on the Monday. Jumping ahead a little bit here, the Friday a focus interview with Mike Varney. Be right
he
back.
He scared me for
yeah,
a second there.
Some men climb a mountain, some men swim the sea, some men fly above the sky, they are what they must be. But baby, the rain must fall.
Hello, I'm Governor Doug Ducey. Christian Family Care does tremendous work to positively impact foster care in Arizona. Today, there are more than 17,000 kids under the care of the state. One significant way you can contribute is through Christian Family Care's Foster Care Tax Credit. It's a simple but meaningful way to impact lives and show your support for the wonderful children and foster families throughout Arizona.
Go online today to fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Someday, some old familiar rain.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Sort of a mellow 60s thing here. When we do our 60s bumper music here on Friday, it doesn't always have to be kind of mid-60s to late 60s. It can certainly be early 60s, and kind of one of the most popular shows was a show called Hootenanny. How many people still remember that, which profiled different folk groups? And Glenn Yarborough was a member of the group The Limelighters, which appeared prominently on that show. Dylan, I know you don't remember that. Maybe Mike Varney remembers a little bit about who Glenn Yarborough was.
I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. There you go.
I've got a couple of Limelighters albums.
Yeah,
home.
So
still
that's,
a, you know, some slabs of wax.
Yeah,
so.
you like folk music.
Of course.
Sure, of course you do. Okay, Dylan Smith is here. He's editor-publisher of the Tucson Sentinel. .com and Mike Varney is here, CEO and president of the Metro Chamber. Dylan, want to pick up where we left off before the break about kind of a difference between Phoenix and Tucson, the way they view bonding.
Indeed, and maybe Mike can speak with some an analysis on this. But back in August, the city of Phoenix, just the city of Phoenix, not all of Maricopa County, passed a bond issue just for transportation. That was $31.5 billion, with a B, dollars. The bonds that the people of Olapima County just rejected that were for far more than just transportation, you could double that and it would still just be the rounding error in that $30-plus billion package that Phoenix said okay to improve their roads. That is a really just a... to me, uncanny comparison.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, who knows the real reason why? I can only surmise that when you're thinking years down the road, what your community is going to have to look like, how it's going to have to function, projecting growth patterns, making sure that infrastructure is cut in ahead of those growth patterns. Don't know if anybody's taken a tour around the 303 in the Phoenix area, but a lot of that beautiful freeway is out in the middle of right now what is nowhere, and in coming years will be somewhere. So there's some visionary planning going on in Phoenix. And I might, Dylan, I might go back just to Tuesday and look at some differences between Phoenix and Tucson. While we were busy killing every opportunity to improve our community by shooting down the bonds, voters in the Phoenix area were busy passing their bond measures. A number of these were school bond measures, but nonetheless, the citizens were voting to tax themselves to improve their community. In a recent op-ed that I sent out, there was actually a photo in the Arizona Republic of a woman holding up a sign saying yes for Dysart, and Dysart, I believe, is a school district there. And the caption under the yes for Dysart sign says, attract jobs and protect property values. Amen, sister. Great job, and that's exactly what this is about. And if we don't start taking some proactive measures to improve the quality of life and the amenities in this community, we are going to fall further and further behind.
I have in front of me that you had just given me a copy. This went out to, or it's going out to all
of
you. It went
out yesterday.
It went out yesterday, and you say, at the risk of oversimplifying the answer about what happened, Mike Varney, you would say simply three things.
Right. Number one, said fear sells. Getting people to vote no on something and don't change a thing is a simple matter. All you need to do is instill a little fear that this change will somehow be detrimental to you or to the community. Not a lot of people dig deeply on the facts. The earlier conversation we had, Bill, about total tax burden, I would gather that 99 out of 100 people listening to this show right now probably don't know that Maricopa County and Pima County have a equivalence in their total tax burden, which was point number two. Misinformation is readily acceptable or accepted. You tell people, hey, your taxes are going to go up. We're already the highest property taxes in the state. And if you don't look behind the curtain to find out what that really means and to validate those numbers and give them some context, if you accept them at face value, yeah, who the heck wants to pay more taxes? Well, you want to pay more taxes if you get something for that money. And then the third point I had was that perfect became the enemy of very good. Some people I know who looked at the seven questions of the bond package found one or two things that they questioned. Well, why do we need an interpretive center? Why do we need this or why do we need that? All of those points are valid, but they're part of the overall package, which we frankly desperately needed.
All right. This is a very interactive show. We've got an email I want Mike to respond to, and then I've got two callers. The email is ask Mike if he thinks the taxpayers trust Huckleberry to spend the money he receives on what it is intended for.
The answer to that question is yes, and that goes back to my second point, that misinformation is readily accepted by many. The state came into Pima County a couple of years ago on the heels of the county's dust-up with Marana over the wastewater situation and conducted a thorough audit of how Pima County handles its bonding, how it handles the funding, where the money goes, the timeliness of that application and so forth. And the auditors with the state of Arizona came back and said, Pima County is an example of best practices that every other county in the state should look to for the application of bonding practices and putting that money to work where the voters said that it should go to work. So there's always going to be distrust in government. That's universal. That's not just here. That's across the country. So yes, there's going to be that distrust, but specifically, should we trust the county to do what they say they will do with the money that they appropriate through bonds? Absolutely, we should, and the track record is there to prove it.
All right, to the phones we go, 790-2040. Why the bonds failed, the caller's name is Chuck. Hello, Chuck.
Good afternoon, Bill. I voted no on all of them. And the reason being, just like what's in the email, trust. I don't trust Huckleberry or the board to spend the money the way they should and appropriately. I'd say this because our HERF funds, which is $50 million a year, they're not going just for roads. They're going for other projects and other things.
Okay.
So there's just a lot of things, Bill.
Thank you, Chuck, for weighing in. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Mr. Varney.
And I think that's an example that, overall, it's easy to skewer politicians and it's easy to skewer political entities like the county and so forth. But if you do the homework and you look at the auditor's report on how Pima County handles its bond money and how it handles the application of those monies to the projects that the voters said they would trust the county to execute, you see a near flawless execution, and that's what I'm talking about when people just want to accept the general and won't look behind the curtain to really examine and get the facts for their beliefs.
Well, the phone lines are full, and I want to try to get as many of these calls as possible. I believe the next caller is Dan. Tom, can you hear me? Are we ready with Dan? Tom, we're ready now with Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi.
You're
up
to
bat. Thank you for your show. I wish you would get a opposition on there so that
we asked people to call in and explain why they voted no, and several of them have. So go ahead, Dan.
Okay.
Well, we just
hello.
Hello, Dan. All right,
Christine.
Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah. here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. This is interesting, all this comparison to Maricopa County. We don't live in Maricopa County. We don't care what's going on in Maricopa County. And it's interesting you bring that up today that they put, you know, Chuck has more income than anybody, including Maricopa County, which just shows waste of money. And also, Pima County gets $1.12 billion. That's a lot of money. And what do they do with it? Why are our roads so bad? Why do we have all these problems? And then they want more. I mean, they don't want just a little more. They want half the budget again.
Okay.
In a bond to give to a not-for-profit. So our taxpayer money is going to a not-for-profit because they can't manage the money they have. That's
all right.
Why it failed.
Thank you, Christine. Folks, not happy that Mr. Huckleberry makes a lot of money.
Then I suggest a letter-writing campaign to the Board of Supervisors, Chuck's next performance evaluation, that they take his compensation under review. I'm not going to get into whether Chuck's compensated fairly or not compensated fairly. I have no basis of comparison to any other county administrator in Arizona in terms of performance or longevity or any of the other things that would contribute to a compensation package. So I'm not going to get into that. I remain convinced, Bill, that we've missed a golden opportunity to improve our community and create the kinds of amenities, whether they're connected to and support a nonprofit or not. You know, folks, do we want to move this community forward as every other community in the country does, or do we want to just say no to everything that comes down the pike and let things decay?
One point I think we should make here is you can't really compare that bond package to the annual budget. That money was going to be spent over two decades, not over the course of one or two years. So if you look at, you know, its impact on the county budget on an annual basis, it's not that entire $815 million.
861, yeah.
Yep. You got to divide that by 20, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're right. The rollout would be over a long period of time.
All right. We're way over, but I do want to try to accommodate a couple of these callers, including Dan. I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead, Dan. I think I've got you now.
Yeah, you do. But my comment is pretty much the same as the other fellows, that we really have no confidence in Huckleberry and his bosses. All five of them seem to be totally incompetent, and we do not trust them. And this fellow Varney, who recommended that we don't trust him at all, since he wants to keep the Tucson board in there, which is completely falling apart and hurting our students. We don't trust any of these people. Come on.
I'm not sure about what board that's hurting the students.
A Grijalva of the Tucson TUSD.
Oh, that board. Worked. Oh, okay.
He says it's all falling apart.
Okay. All right, Dan, you've had your say. And Jeff called us from Bullhead City. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, actually, I'm not quite as far as Bullhead City. I'm
okay. Sort of that's what came up on my screen, but wherever you are, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, well, okay. Say, listen, over the years, over 50 years, I voted for many, many, many bond issues that had the words road maintenance and repair in them. And in fact, there was a time when if you wanted a bond issue to kind of pass, you'd be sure to include those words, and everyone would dutifully vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, somewhere along the line, the goodwill is worn off. And I'll try to explain one part of why you can't get a bond issue. I was amazed myself that those bonds went down like
real quickly,
that.
Jeff.
However, over the years, you've proven with many large failed projects that you can't do it. Keno Hospital, the baseball park, and the roads. If you were to build one road, 1 mile of road that actually worked, you wouldn't have trouble getting bonds passed. Anyway.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Drive safely on your way up through the Bullhead City area. Anyway, Mr. Varney, final comment?
Well, we've got to start investing in ourselves, folks. If we don't invest in ourselves, Don't know who will. I don't think the feds or the state are going to come riding in here with a big check someday and say, you know, go fix your roads and protect your major industries and provide your community with the amenities that every other community with good vision and the will to do so has provided for their community.
And we didn't say no to everything. We said yes to changes in the city charter.
City charter, yep.
Yeah.
Two good changes. Still need to go a little further there, though, but that's probably a discussion for another time, Bill.
And we said no to red light cameras, which have now have big tarps over them, Dylan.
So. Well, they stopped issuing tickets on Wednesday, pretty much right away. Wednesday evening, they stopped issuing tickets. Then yesterday, they put tarps over the signs that warned people about them. And then this morning, they actually went out and started taking down the cameras. So the city moved pretty rapidly on that, even though the election hasn't been certified by the council yet because they're still counting ballots. It's pretty obvious which way that vote is going, along
all
with so many of the others.
Okay, Mike Varney, thank you very much, Mike.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right. Mike Varney from the Metro Chamber with us, 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for The Star, is waiting in the wings. She will take the seat that Mr. Varney is vacating here to my microphone left, and we'll continue after we hear from the people I really appreciate, and I hope you do too. They're the people that make this show possible. Be right back.
The honey wind blows and the warm days dwindle.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. Green. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Silk cocoon on a silvery spindle. The petals fall from the last red rose. The last red rose when the honey wind blows.
Oh my goodness, Glenn Yarbrough, what a silky smooth voice he had. That goes back to 1964, and on Friday we do 60s bumper music, our intermission music, and this time we're not doing some hard rock. We're into that 60s thing. That was from Glenn Yarbrough at the Troubadour, and there was a period there before the Beatles invasion, Dylan and Sarah Garrett Gasson joining us from the Star, where folks really were into folk music.
Yes, the Beatles made a huge difference.
That song is, that was not exactly a Friday pick-me-up there.
No. Well, no, the honey wind blows, okay.
I've seen Peter, Paul, and Mary several times. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy the folk music. I'm just saying, things changed.
And things have changed here in Pima County as voters, Sarah, knocked down all seven bonds. Your column, pretty much right on your column on Thursday. My goodness, if we're going to vote down after all the hooting and hollering about our horrible roads,
right?
Well, the next time you hit a big pothole, who are you going to blame? Well,
yeah. Well, I mean, and I just want to say that listening to the show on the way over,
okay,
that the discussion about, you know, the comparison to Pima County and Maricopa County and how we do things differently, and you have to do, you know, compare tax per capita and all of that. Is really complicated and long and factual and not easy to just put into a bumper sticker that says they're going to spend your waste your money and raise your taxes. So, and also, I mean, the calls that came in, I mean, I'm not going to say with just paint everyone with the same brush, but there were a lot of them that had just wrong information. It's not misinformation. It's just not misunderstanding. It's just wrong. And I think it's a complicated issue, and the simplicity of no won out. And I think it's going to be to the detriment of the community because it's really easy to just say no. It takes a lot of thought and weighing and balancing to say, yeah, I support this. And not only that, but I'm going to get off my couch and vote. I think the low turnout was just
definitely hurt.
It was sad, and people are more motivated to say no than they are to say yes.
I think that there was not the best case made for voting yes. You know, these are tangled issues. There were 99 projects involved overall.
99 problems.
And yeah, exactly. And that was, you know, almost like 99 things that you could find a couple of things to say no to and thus reject all of them if you're in the mood to say no. But, there wasn't a great cogent argument to be made for this kind of investment. In some of the previous bonds, like, we just passed a street bond in the city of Tucson
right.
A couple of years ago where it was very focused and it was easy to say, here's where we're going to spend your money. We're going to do this. Or expanding the dog pound. Here, we're going to do this. This is the thing we're going to spend your money on.
And so people, maybe we should have had just a narrow focus. Maybe it was just roads.
Overwhelmingly voted for those things. Those things, won by the same margin that this huge sweeping package just failed by.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent basically a decade crafting this with so much input from so many people, and I think it almost sort of collapsed under its own weight of everything that went into that. It was almost overwrought.
Well, I think that if you looked at the map of where all the projects were going to be, if you looked at all the various projects, I mean, just the parks, there was something in it for everyone. And I think the backers made the mistake of using common sense and thinking, who doesn't want better roads? Who doesn't want flood control? Who doesn't want better parks? And
that assumed people would really study it carefully and cherry pick certain items.
Right. And that, you know, I'm really a big supporter of the Desert Museum, so I'm going to go out and vote for this. But I think they packed it with so many things that, you know, a good case can be made for many of them, not all of them, but many of them, that it gave people a reason to say no. Because when in doubt, just people just say no. It's not. It's a sad fact.
People really want to talk, and I don't blame them. And this is a talk show, so let's go back to the phone lines. Carl is up at 790-2040. Carl, what do you have to say?
Well, what I have to say is that this was not a rejection of the bonds. It was a rejection of the leadership
okay.
in the county and the city. And I think that's what a lot of people seem to be missing. We don't trust them. It's been said over and over again. And people keep saying the same thing. Well, maybe we should have packed the bonds differently, or people didn't read them, people didn't understand them. They understood perfectly well what was in them, and that's why they voted against them. Now, personally, I would have voted for many of the bonds if they had been packed individually. But they had a bunch of too much fluff in there that was packed around them, and so I voted against all of them, and obviously I'm not alone.
Can I ask why you voted against flood control?
Because I don't trust the county, the current political leadership that we have, to actually use the money that would be coming in from the bond.
And what is your basis for that?
Because they have switched bond money before. They are anti-growth. They are anti-business. I'm pro-Rosemont, and they're not.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. Mark is next. I think it's our friend Mark Spear. Is that Mark?
Yes, it is. I was going to say, as a guy who got a 65% positive on his so-called bond issue, or unbond issue, I should say. There,
talking about the red light cameras. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Right. My feeling, and I went over this with my wife, we really did go over them all. I was raise the bar voter, so I just voted no on everything to make sure that if they passed, I wasn't going to lose any sleep over it, but I wanted it to be serious, and so that's why I was a negative. But I went over it with my wife, and she voted yes for the roads and yes for the flood control. And I looked at flood control, and I said that was pretty reasonable. But here's what I think went wrong. I mean, it looks like a Christmas shopping list when you look at it. It really does. And so I'm going to just make up something to be kind of a comparison. They essentially said vote yes on all the bonds, and essentially what that told me was that, you know, we're going to put a new drinking fountain in the library, and that's just as important as the roads.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of the impression I got out of this, was they, you know, they had some stuff that looked pretty trivial in there.
Yeah.
When we are hurting really bad, we're barely struggling, we're all fighting to get, you know, our last dollar. And
Sarah wants to say something.
Well, I had a question
here,
because they did divvy up the type of projects into seven kind of categories. So did
right.
that, was that not enough? Would you have preferred to see like 99 things?
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is the advertisement wasn't that they were divided up. Mm. Their advertisement was yes on everything. There was nobody saying, you know, these are the two that are really important, and then, you know, if you still want to vote more, vote for these. But there was no advertising that said vote for the important ones first.
Well, okay. I think that is an interesting point, that it was the campaigns were either
kind
all yes or
thing.
All no.
Yeah,
yeah,
thanks.
All yes or all no.
Okay.
And that was a big deal, I thought. And that was
Dylan?
Kind of a mistake. But I understood that they broke it into seven.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Good day, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. This just popped into my head from the previous caller, who was saying that the he doesn't trust the city of Tucson leadership. But the three Democrats were just overwhelmingly reelected.
Yes, thank you, Dylan, for
picking
up.
Perhaps he's a county voter and doesn't get a chance to vote for them anyway. But
thank
he was saying that the county leadership is not pro-business, and that's why he voted against these bonds
He did throw the city in there, and of course the city leadership, the three incumbents, were reelected.
For almost a decade, the business community was entirely invested in the process of crafting this bond package and picking which projects would be supported. There were hundreds more that were proposed to be a part of this that got through that process, through the committee, got told, no, you're not going to be in this. And I can't think of a local business group that was not wholeheartedly behind these bonds. You know, pretty much every you know, chamber group that I can think of was backing them in some way. Perhaps I'm wrong there, and I'm missing somebody who was opposed to them.
Sarah?
Well, I was also wanted to say that we've been talking about how people have brought up, well, you know, we voted for a bond and then they spent it, you know, in a different way. I think we forget, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the audit that the state did, and believe me, the state is not friendly to Pima County, that said Pima County handled the bond issues well. If there were changes, the Board of Supervisors had a public hearing and they made the changes in public. And so the process was followed, which again is a long, convoluted answer to they didn't do what they said they were going to do. So, but I think to get back to that, if that's the problem, then vote those people out of office. I think that's something that gets lost, that it's not Chuck Huckleberry being king of the universe. I would be interested if many people who know his name could even pick him out of the grocery store line. But if there are problems, we vote for people, we elect people, and people need to listen to their constituents. So talk to your Pima County supervisor.
All right. David has waited. David, I have less than a minute, so make your comment about 10 seconds.
My comment is I live in a rural area and I get nothing for the tax money. I see where all the money is being spent, providing capital improvements for Marana's growth. Marana's booming, and they're putting in bigger roads there, and the county is spending money on that. They spent, for Oral Valley's Marana's growth, $20 million for a two-mile stretch of La Canada. More than $500 million for upgrading the Ina Road treatment plant to accommodate Marana's growth. I see massive amount of spending on capital improvements over there. I get nothing.
All right, David, thank you for your comment. Dylan, a final word here.
One of the things that really interested me, and this is just a bit of a random thing to throw in there, we had one of our frequent commenters on TucsonSentinel.com is very, very right-wing and pretty much echoes every talk radio talking point that you can come up with, you know, frequently in our comments. He voted for all of the bonds, saying, we need to do something. It's going to cost me $18 a year, and so it's worth a roll of the dice. Even if they screw it all up, you know, it's 18 bucks out of my pocket.
18 bucks. And, of course, some would argue, Allie Miller would argue that it's more than that. It's under 50, let's put it that way.
Well, it depends on the value of your home.
Right.
I mean, if you live in the average house, it's going to cost you about 20 bucks.
And if you live in a $500,000 house, yes, it's going to cost you more. And
50.
If you live in a lesser property value house, it's going to cost you less. But I think it just boils down to no is easier than yes. And when people don't know about the issues, and it's just that's human nature. And I think it's very sad.
Well, I say yes to both of you for coming in. Thank you very much.
We say yes to you, Bill.
I have to say no to going ahead and ending this conversation. And we will continue now. First of all, Dylan and Sarah, I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too.
All
right. And everybody else out there.
There you go. Matt Russell, he's not going to talk about the bonds, but he'll tell us about stuff to do this weekend next.
Let me hear your joyful cry. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. I know you by your friendly face. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting here tonight. There's a meeting.
We're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
Bruce Beat.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
John Kaiser.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Vino.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Slutz.
I thought I just saw you out.
Casey Polipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're
Bert Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Mike Truba.
I know Mike, Executive VP, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. So many great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses. So many things to do. You can hike, go antiquing. It's all on their fine website. And Silver City's just 3 hours east of Tucson. Time for a road trip, an easy one. Southwest New Mexico.org. Matt, a lot going on this weekend, including the famous All Souls procession downtown.
Absolutely, Bill. More than 150,000 people are expected to come downtown on Sunday night for the annual All Souls procession. Now, this is an event designed to remember those who have passed and to celebrate life, with people donning the most creative masks and costumes I swear you will ever see. Now, of course, you'll need some nourishment for the procession, and this downtown event, I recommend Panka at 50 East Broadway, because I think their cuisine and their cocktails are just as creative as the costumes you're going to see. Now, make sure you leave plenty of time to navigate around those busy streets and enjoy this event that certainly has attracted national attention.
It has. It's almost become a signature event here in November for Tucson. Pumpkin and Thanksgiving. Well, tamale's not usually thought of as Thanksgiving fare, but when it comes to Matt Russell, he's Mr. Tamale.
You know, fall is here, Bill, with the arrival of two of my favorite tamales in town. And the Tucson Tamale Company, with three Tucson locations, is getting into the spirit with their pumpkin tamales, with real pumpkin and organic corn masa, and Thanksgiving tamales with roasted turkey, cranberries, and organic sage masa. This is a great way to give your palate a prelude to the upcoming holidays, Bill, and these flavors work beautifully together. I'll be enjoying some this weekend and stocking up my fridge at home, so I'll have plenty for the season. Tucson Tamale Company, celebrate fall. I love it.
I have time for a happy hour. You got one for me?
Well, we all got all kinds of great happy hours. My happy hour pick tonight is going to be north at La Encantada, because I love to sort of plan the time where the sun is going down, the fire pits light up right there out of the patio. Great cocktails, great ambiance, wonderful people. I love north up at La Encantada.
What's in the column this week, Matt?
Well, my newest discovery in the science of food and wine pairings suggests that premium wines work just as well with classic comfort cuisine as they do with their classier counterparts. Now, can you say Velveeta and Viognier, meatloaf and Malbec, all in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business?
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the program's content on behalf of our team here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, our fine operations manager Ray Allen, our producers Mr. Tom Fairbanks and Ed Alexander, and of course production ace Jerry Cross, my assistant Rosemary Brandt. All of them make this show possible. We're very fortunate to have such a great group. Have a safe and wonderful weekend.